No one can keep a secret forever. Danietta Lentz is a hard-working single mom striving to make a better life for her children.
They were a tight-knit family. Family was important to all of them.
But underneath the veneer of a happy home lurks a deadly secret.
This was something that people were totally stunned by. It was very shocking.
If one word comes out of your mouth, you are going to be sorry.
You have to be careful who you really meet and who you really trust.
And when the truth comes out, the only thing more horrific than the crime is the secret behind it.
We will never know why somebody would do this. I will be haunted probably till the day I die.
This case is so tragic because it basically wiped out an entire family.
Soon, every dirty little secret will be revealed. Janesville, Wisconsin, 2007. It's the kind of town where you know your neighbor and you leave your door unlocked at night.
You can raise your family. You can walk the streets at night. You can go really anywhere in the community and have a level of safeness that you might not in other cities. It's the kind of community where you look out for your neighbor.
It's peaceful and quiet, and then just everybody gets together. We all know each other.
And everyone in the neighborhood knows and loves 38-year-old mom, Danietta Lentz. She's known for her kind and giving nature and will do her best to help her friends whenever they're in need.
A little mouse on top of the dog.
She was very well liked. The people that worked with her, for example, loved her. She worked for Community Action, and she was highly thought of. She worked hard, and just somebody that was trying to make ends meet, support her family, and do the best that she could.
Ever since she split from her ex-husband a few years ago, Danietta's been raising two kids, Scott and Nicole, by herself.
Nicole seemed to be well-liked at school, had friends, just seemed like a nice girl, and everyone liked to be around her.
Nicole, she was like a rock star, she reminded me of, like, as in my teenage years. And then Scotty, I called him my little motivator, because he'd always be happy and perky. He was a great kid.
Danietta's sole focus in life was her children and caring for them, giving them a better life than she had. Very devoted mother. They were, you know, very close as a family.
But supporting two teenagers on her own isn't easy. Danietta often struggles to get by.
Danietta worked very hard to provide for her family, especially being that they didn't have a lot of money and they didn't have a lot of possessions. I think she wanted her kids to be happy, and she did the best she could with what she had.
Danny, she struggled a lot to take care of her family, being a single parent. I was a single parent at the time, too. So, and I also struggled, so. And we'd have, like, conversations, you know. She'd talk to me a lot.
She made minimum wage. She worked very hard. They were by no means affluent. They were quite actually, they were very poor. They were very limited in their ability, you know, to support themselves. But Mom did it. Mom took care of them, and you know what? They worked hard, and they were able to, you know, put a life together for themselves. And it was very clear that they were very close.
Despite her hardships, Danietta still makes sure to enjoy life and have fun with friends.
Danietta did find some time to herself. If there were some other friends from work or some other people that she knew that would want to go out and have a drink or two, that she would do that.
She was fun. She had a big heart. We went out together. So that was like one of my favorite things, going out to the bars.
All in all, Danietta Lentz has all the things that matter in life. A loving family, good friends, and the support of her community. So when this kind, hard-working woman and her family fall prey to a vicious attack, no one will understand why. Or believe the secrets she and others in their close-knit community are hiding. On the morning of January 12, 2007, Danietta doesn't show up for her job at a local community center. It's unlike the conscientious mother not to call or leave word that she's running late.
That was very unusual because Danny was always a good worker. She was never a no-call, no-show. She'd always get her kids off to school and then she'd go on to work.
When Nicole and Scott don't show up for school either, Danietta's father becomes concerned.
Danny's dad got a phone call because the kids weren't in school. And then he got a phone call because his daughter wasn't at work.
And he, knowing his daughter, was concerned as well, so he immediately drove over to the house.
There's no preparing him for the gruesome scene he discovers inside. There's blood everywhere. His daughter and grandchildren have been savagely murdered.
I'm sure they're dead. What do I do?
We received a frantic call from the father of our victims. Called screaming that they were dead, that someone was murdered, there was blood everywhere. It was a very horrific scene.
I would describe the crime scene as very brutal and very shocking if you've never seen anything like that before.
Well, I can tell you that I still haven't burned into my mind the pictures of the victims in their home following this incident. And unfortunately, that's something that I'll probably never get rid of. This is one of the ugliest things that I've ever seen.
Police on the scene determine all three Lentzes have been stabbed to death. All of Janesville is traumatized and shaken by the news.
It was very shocking, not just for Janesville, but for Rock County, for Wisconsin, for the Midwest. This was something that people were totally stunned by. Here is this town that is really more or less not had a murder in several years, suddenly a triple homicide of an innocent family.
Why would anyone do something so barbaric to the Lentzes?
There were theories that several individuals had broke in to rob them and murdered them.
But given the Lentz's financial situation, a robbery doesn't make sense to investigators.
They were a poor, hardworking family, but they didn't scream that this was a place you'd want to rob and get lots of valuable items. So we kind of quickly got rid of the theory that somebody was in there trying to rob them.
It was very clear to us that there was no robbery because, first of all, she had nothing to steal, and there was nothing that was taken.
It seems to investigators that the crime scene has been ransacked to make it look like a random robbery, but that these murders were personal.
It was clear that the suspect had tried to make it look like it had been a home invasion and a robbery, so the drawers were pulled out throughout the house. But it was also very clear from the beginning of looking at that this was a staged event.
Usually a very graphic natured crime scene like such as that is usually more indicative of some sort of a crime of passion or a crime of rage or something along those lines.
But who could possibly want to murder Danietta and her children? Does someone have a vendetta against the Lentzes? What could drive someone to commit such a horrific crime?
We immediately started looking at every individual that we thought might have either a motive, the opportunity, or the means to do it.
Any homicide case, you start with the people closest to the victims. We like to say nearest and dearest, and you work your way out from there. Because that is the overwhelming percentage of victims know the suspect.
And there is one person who instantly jumps to mind. The only member of the Lentz family not yet accounted for. Danietta's ex-husband.
Divorce always is an emotional process. Some couples never, ever truly recover. And because the crime itself was so violent, it would be a very natural target to look at him first.
You would do something like this.
The search for the missing dad begins. Could Danietta's ex have murdered his own family? Or is someone else hiding a deadly secret?
Well, I could destroy you.
What secrets?
Some secrets are very dangerous. If the person has a strong enough reason for not wanting a secret to come out, they will go to the lengths of homicide to keep that secret quiet.
Single mother Danietta Lentz and her two teenage children have been slaughtered in their home, leaving the quiet town of Janesville, Wisconsin, terrified.
There was a great deal of fear in the community and a great deal of pressure on us to bring justice for this family and to help alleviate the fear of what had occurred.
It made me very scared because I lived right next door. You never thought, you know, you'd ever hear of something like this.
The first suspect investigators consider is Danietta's estranged ex-husband. He's been an absentee parent for years, and his relationship with Danietta is tepid at best.
He really wasn't involved at all in the raising of those children, really didn't have much of a relationship with them. He hadn't contributed any financial aid whatsoever to the family. She was pretty much Danietta supporting those children all on her own.
I never heard of him helping her out with anything. I know that she was a single parent struggling because her and I both had that in common.
Given Danietta's financial woes, it's possible she'd been putting more pressure on her ex-husband lately to support their kids.
Stop asking me.
Send it to us or I'm getting the lawyers involved and they will come after you.
If so, investigators wonder, could he have taken drastic measures to ensure he'd never have to pay up?
Don't you dare threaten me.
She had two children she was supporting completely alone. And some women come to realize, wait a second, this just isn't fair. And it could have been that she let him know that she was going to be coming after him for child support, and that might have incited his rage.
What's more, as detectives begin investigating Danietta's ex, they discover something unsettling. He's been in trouble with the law before. Perhaps Danietta knew a dangerous secret about him that he wanted her to take to the grave.
I know all about you.
You know all about what?
We don't know what was going on in the ex-husband's life necessarily. It's always possible that there were skeletons in the closet, and Danietta, for whatever reason, was going to expose those secrets. And this could have incited some type of anger in him.
If one word comes out of your mouth, you are going to be sorrier.
So he immediately became a person of interest for us.
Detectives track down Danietta's ex-husband and bring him in for questioning.
I was gonna tell people.
We got a divorce, I moved out of town. That was it, I cut off all ties.
He's devastated to hear about his children's deaths. And they find out their suspect wasn't even in town the night of the murder. In fact, he's been living in another state for years. There's no way he could have committed the murders.
He hadn't traveled up to Wisconsin for some period of time. We had checked his work record. He had been at work. He hadn't gone anywhere. It was pretty clear within a short amount of time that there's just no way that he would have been a suspect involved in this.
Nicole and Scott's father may not be behind their murder, But investigators are still convinced the violent stabbings point to a crime of passion. And that means the killer is most likely someone closer to home.
We looked again, and that's where we went through every aspect of their life and tried to make a determination on, you know, what connection this assailant had to them.
Detectives focus in on Danietta's daughter, Nicole. It's no secret around town that Nicole was the hottie of the neighborhood. She was young, blonde, and attractive. And like most teenage girls, she spent a good deal of time socializing with the opposite sex.
So when do you want to go out? Friday or Saturday?
She was a very pretty teenager. Very pretty and sweet. I know that boys liked her. I know that she liked boys.
I'm more excited to see you than the movie.
Nicole was definitely at an age where she would have been dating at 17. I think most girls are dating by then. And she was no different than any other teenage girl her age, and there was an interest in boys there.
Detectives discover that Nicole has a sometimes jealous boyfriend and turn their full attention to him. Perhaps he discovered Nicole might be seeing someone else. Could something have gone wrong in the young lover's relationship that night and pushed Nicole's boyfriend over the edge?
It's always possible that she was playing the field, as young women do. This young girl may have been getting a lot of attention from a lot of different people, and this could have triggered a jealous rage on the part of her boyfriend.
Detectives start investigating Nicole's boyfriend. In fact, a search of phone records shows he called the Lentz home numerous times the night of the murders.
He had obviously contact with the family, and we knew that he was one of the last people to talk with Nicole prior to their deaths.
I saw you with him, okay? I saw you two walking together.
No, that wasn't me.
One of our initial thought was, is there a fight here? Did something happen?
And they were asking me if he was violent at all, and if there was any arguments between him and Nicole.
No, I'm not lying.
Detectives bring Nicole's boyfriend in for questioning. But when they hear what he has to say, they discover he has an airtight alibi.
I cared about her. She cared about me.
So when do you want to go out?
Typical teenagers. They're talking on their phones all the time, so we were able to get a time frame from the last time he talked to him. He then had a driver's ed course that he went to that night. And when he came back, started trying to contact her again, and there was no response.
The night before the murder happened, he called my house phone, and then he said, Angie, he goes, Nicole's not answering her phone. Nicole always answers the phone for me. And I didn't think nothing of it.
Based on the times of the calls, there's no way Nicole's boyfriend could have killed her and her family. But he may hold a clue to who did. He catches investigators by surprise by revealing that the Lentzes weren't alone the night of the murders.
She did mention there was a guy at the house named Jim. Jim something.
He knows this because of something he heard the last time he spoke to Nicole.
Hello?
He heard a voice of an individual, a male, that was in the background. And he said the voice was very distinctive. And he asked Nicole, as any boyfriend would do, who is the guy?
Does that look straight?
Who was that?
Oh, that's just Jim. Yeah.
And she said, oh, that's nobody. That's just Jim.
Who investigators want to know is this Jim? And what was he doing in the Lentz home that night? Nicole's boyfriend says he never got a straight answer.
No.
But detectives are determined to find out. The discovery of Jim's identity will reveal Danietta's surprising secret and create a scandal in Janesville.
It was a surprise to me. It was a shock. Deep down in my heart, I feel that there is secrets that nobody will ever know about, even me being so close to the family.
Detectives investigating the murders of Danietta Lentz and her children are on the hunt for a man named Jim, who was reportedly in their home the night they were stabbed to death. The talk in town is that Jim must be the Lentz's neighbor, James Kep.
James Kep is a person that was known among the residents of the neighborhood as someone who was somewhat of a handyman and had offered to fix minor issues people had. Nicole had something broken in her bedroom, and Jim was the one that had volunteered to fix it.
Does this look straight to you?
Yeah, it looks good.
Jim has a good reputation in town, but detectives want to know why this handyman was at the Lentz home the night they were brutally slain. They decide to pay the handyman a visit.
During the investigation, Detective Yeager went to talk to Jim Kep and ask him about his presence there the night before the bodies were discovered.
Jim tells detectives they have their days mixed up. He wasn't at the Lentz home that night. He says he'd done a few odd jobs for the family before, but hasn't seen them in a while.
So you weren't there that day?
No.
Okay.
He initially denied that he was ever there, that he hadn't been there, that he didn't even really know them that well, didn't have a lot of interaction with them.
But Jim's statement doesn't jibe with what detectives already know from Nicole's boyfriend. Jim's lying about his whereabouts the night of the murders, and investigators want to know why.
We knew Jim Kep was lying about being there because Nicole's boyfriend had already told us that he had heard the male voice while talking to her on the phone, and she said, "That's Jim," which obviously was suspicious to us because if he had nothing to do with this crime, we were trying to figure out why would he lie about being there.
Detectives turn up the heat on James Kep, and the handyman cracks.
Look, Jim, we know you were there that night. So why are you lying to us?
Okay, I was there, but I didn't kill anybody.
He initially denied that he had been there that evening, later changed that story and said, yes, he had been there, but then left and certainly had no involvement in the homicide.
Jim swears he didn't kill anyone. He says he didn't tell the truth at the outset because he has a shameful secret that he's hiding from his wife. He'd been having an affair with Danietta Lentz.
He stated that the reason he had gone to the house is he wanted to talk to Danietta and make sure that she was not going to tell his wife about the relationship that they were having.
That's why he initially lied about his presence at the Lentz home, was to cover up so his wife would not learn of the affair.
The allegation of a torrid affair catches everyone in town off guard. No one suspected Danietta of secretly sleeping with a married man.
I remember neighbors talking among neighbors. Oh, did you hear about so-and-so having an affair? I didn't even know that James and Danny were really friends. I was surprised. In the end, I figured out that Danny might have some secrets, something that nobody's telling.
Jim tells police he could never hurt Danietta or the kids. He cared deeply for all of them. And no one seems to have a bad word to say about the handyman who's always there to help his neighbors.
He was around during the days, and he would volunteer and help them out when he could.
I remember meeting James a few times. He was nice.
Lying to police is never a good idea, but it's entirely reasonable for most people to understand that, well, he might have just not been honest because he didn't want his wife to find out, he didn't want the neighborhood to find out. There's also a strong possibility that he was trying to protect Danietta. He may not have wanted the community, her extended family, to know that she was having an affair with a married man.
But then, Jim makes a startling statement. He wasn't the Lentz's only visitor that night. There was another man there, a stranger lurking outside.
So tell me about this figure in the shadows.
Well, like I said, I saw somebody outside the window.
You can't tell me anything about him?
Couldn't make out details. I don't know what he looked like.
Jim Kep did make a statement that close to the time this homicide was to have occurred, that he did see a person fleeing the area of the Lentz home.
James Kep had mentioned someone fleeing. He had seen a man running away prior to the homicides.
Do investigators finally have their first solid lead on the killer?
That obviously put us on higher alert. That leaves the apprehension out there in the public. Is there a killer out here among us?
Jim says he didn't get a good enough look at this guy to ID him, but maybe someone else did. Investigators start the hunt for this shadowy figure, and what they find changes the course of the investigation completely. An affair with the handyman may not have been Danietta's only secret.
Stop! No!
Danietta's sister did report to us this loud argument of some type.
The one guy I do know about tried to force her into sex.
Investigators working the Lentz family triple murder have learned that a man was seen prowling outside their home the night Danietta and her two children were stabbed to death. But detectives don't know who he is or why he might have targeted the Lentzes. Is he planning to strike again? It's a question that's beginning to panic the community.
In a relatively small community such as the Janesville community, everyone hears about it because it's just word of mouth. People talk. And it horrifies people to think that something like this could happen in this community.
The neighborhood was concerned about their safety. And I mean, the whole community was concerned who would do this and why. And is my family in danger?
Investigators circle back and talk to Nicole's boyfriend again. He doesn't know anything about a prowler outside the Lentz home that night, but he says he once heard Danietta complaining about an ex-boyfriend who wouldn't leave her alone.
Danietta had dated someone who was still trying to pursue her or who had recently pursued her, and she no longer had an interest in this person.
I don't want to hear from you anymore.
So she had tried to cut off communication with him and avoid him, and he was still making some attempts to get in contact with her.
I want to see you again.
I said I don't want to see you anymore. We're done.
I do remember Nicole saying that her mom, she had no interest in this guy.
The man apparently wouldn't take a hint and called constantly, begging Danietta to take him back.
No, I don't want to see you. You're scaring me and you're scaring my kids.
There might have been an argument between the two of them, and that I think he was looking for more from the relationship than Danny wanted to give. And so she tried to give him the brush off.
Don't call me.
Was this ex-boyfriend the man lurking outside the Lentz home on the night of the murders? If he was obsessed with Danietta and somehow learned of her affair with James Kep, perhaps it drove him mad with jealousy. Could he have been the one who killed Danietta and her children in a fit of rage?
Dating can be very dangerous. It's very risky business. You don't know who you're involving yourself with. So it's always a possibility that whoever Danietta was dating may have an obsession, who may be dangerous because if I can't have you, nobody can, type of mentality. So it's something that the police would have definitely wanted to explore because we just don't know what type of relationship Danietta and this man had.
Investigators turn to Danietta's sister for help tracking down this ex-boyfriend. But she tells police she doesn't know anything about her sister's exes.
I don't know anything about these boyfriends you're talking about. She wasn't seeing anybody.
As far as she knows, Danietta hadn't dated in years. What's more, she's shocked to hear that Danietta was reportedly having an affair with a married man.
She would have told me if it was true.
But maybe there's a secret side to her sister that she never knew. It would explain the strange sight she witnessed the last time she visited her sister.
She was staying the night at the residence, and it was about a week before the homicide occurred. Danietta went out and met some friends at a nearby bar after the kids had been put to bed.
A gentleman gave her a ride home, and he wanted to come inside.
Think you would want to, you know, head inside for a little bit?
Danietta really had no interest.
He wanted to have some type of sex or get in some relationship, and she wasn't going to have any of it.
Stop it. Stop it. I'm going inside.
She won't put up with crap. I mean, Danny was a pretty strong person. Should tell you how she feels.
Let go.
Bye.
Could the man in the car be the same ex-boyfriend who had been stalking Danietta? Or are the police hunting two different suspects?
With all these different men sort of popping up, it becomes more complicated. It's entirely possible that she had this separate, private, secret life that involved dating, or at least one man, who knows? But it's not something that would have been advertised to the rest of the community. What was the nature of these relationships? This becomes a very challenging job for the police.
Detectives finally track down Danietta's ex-boyfriend. But when they do, they quickly discover he's nothing more than a heartbroken guy who was having a little trouble letting go.
Why did you keep calling her?
They were great dates.
He's distraught over Danietta's death, and he has an alibi.
We did check it out, and there was no connection to the murders. He still was calling and trying to make sure that the relationship wasn't over, but it really wasn't related to the homicides.
What's more, this ex-boyfriend claims he hasn't seen Danietta in a while. It seems he's not the eager Casanova who recently gave her a lift home and then tried to weasel his way into her bed. That means there's still a suspect on the loose. So investigators start combing through their criminal files, looking for anyone who might fit the profile of Danietta's mystery ride. And that's when they make a troubling discovery, one that reveals they've been sent on a wild goose chase, hunting the wrong suspect. And the only thing more shocking than who killed the Lentzes is the disturbing reason why. The killer's final secret is one that hits much too close to home.
I was angry because he had lived among us for many years. That changed a big part of me. I have a lot of trouble sleeping at night because of that.
After all their other leads have fallen apart, detectives in Janesville, Wisconsin, are pouring through stacks of criminal files, looking for a mystery man who would have been capable of the brutal slayings of Danietta Lentz and her two children.
What we started to do was we looked at, okay, who is in here and what is their background? We ran checks on each one of them. Some of the individuals we knew had been in jail, so we looked at them further.
But just when it seems they'll never solve the case, the investigators are stopped dead in their tracks. A name jumps out at them from the pages of an old criminal record. And it's one they've seen before. Jim Kep. They're appalled to discover that James Kep, Danietta's neighbor and alleged lover, has been hiding a horrendous secret. He may be the community's handyman, but Jim Kep is also a registered sex offender with a violent sexual past.
In investigating James Kep's background, we learned that he had been in prison for a significant period of time.
Investigators discover Jim was arrested in 1982 for forcing two women to engage in a three-way with him.
He had a lengthy criminal history, including an offense that he had two women perform sexual acts at knife point.
We discovered that he was able to control both of them. He was able to keep them quiet during this assault, that he had done time in prison for that.
Jim spent 10 years behind bars for the attack, but his deviant history doesn't end there. After he was paroled, he was arrested for a variety of other sexual crimes.
James Kep did have a history of stalking women. He seemed to like the young girls that would walk around.
He had been into a couple of different women's homes. I remember one where he was like laying on her bed and had her panties out. He had a sexually deviant past.
When word spreads that the local handyman is a sex offender, the entire community is outraged. Not a single person seems to have known there was a sexual predator living next door all this time.
I didn't know that he was a registered sex offender. I was actually offended by that because I have two young children. I was angry because he was a neighbor that lived among us for many years.
I think they were shocked. I think it was a form of shock and almost disbelief that somebody like that could live that close to them and interact with them on a daily basis. He was certainly our primary focus.
Investigators now have a disturbing new theory about what was really going on between Jim and the Lenses. One that reveals his dirtiest secret of all. Detectives don't believe Jim Kep was actually having an affair with Danietta Lentz, as he alleged. They think he was only using her because his real target was her teenage daughter, Nicole.
He was a sexual predator. I think he was attracted to teenage girls. Nicole was considered a very attractive young lady, and I think that he went after her.
Either he intended on having some kind of sexual relationship with her, or he may have already forced himself upon her at some point.
Police believe doing odd jobs around the Lentz home was just Jim's way to try to get closer to Nicole.
I don't think James Kep was really having an affair with Danietta Lentz. I think his interest was more in Nicole Lentz, and he was maybe putting on a front that he was interested in Danietta Lentz to have access to Nicole Lentz.
I still don't believe in my heart that they're ever together. Kind of knowing him and then knowing her, I wouldn't believe it was true.
Investigators suspect Danietta found out about Jim's obsession with her daughter, Nicole, and perhaps even discovered his depraved criminal past.
I've got you figured out, Jim. I've seen you staring at her.
What? Staring at
who? Nicole.
That's not true. I've never touched Nicole in my life.
Stay away from Nicole.
And it would be natural for him not to want anyone to know about it. Sex offenders, once they recommit, they could go to jail for extraordinarily long periods of time, even life. So the stakes might have been very, very high for James Kep.
Fearing his twisted secret was about to be revealed to the entire community, James Kep must have killed all three family members in a last-ditch effort to keep his secret safe. Investigators search Jim's place and find the evidence they need to prove their theory. The clothing he was wearing the night of the murders.
We found on his clothing the DNA belonging to Danietta, and when we further tested it, we were able to show it was her blood.
Those blood stains were the victim's. He made the case. That was what sort of put us over the top and led to our actual charging of Kep.
Jim Kep is arrested for the murders of Danietta, Nicole, and Scott Lentz. While in custody, he confesses to all three of the heinous killings. He's convicted of three counts of first-degree murder and given three consecutive life sentences without the possibility of parole.
The victim's father said it better than I could. He basically said, you know, a life for a life, and in this case, it's three lives for three lives. So he got three life sentences consecutive, and that's the best that I can do for a victim in this case.
Jim Kep is a very dangerous, deviant sexual predator, and I have no doubt that Jim, given the right opportunity, would do the exact same thing again. And the type of person that it is capable of committing such a horrific crime is nothing short of a monster.
The deaths of Danietta, Nicole, and Scott Lentz leave the town of Janesville to wonder, how well can anyone really know their neighbor?
I think you could characterize it as sort of the wolf in sheep's clothing. He presented a decent front, but underneath, I think there was always an ulterior motive.
It actually made me pretty sick after I found out the fact that he was involved. He was a neighbor, and neighbors are supposed to look out for each other and be there for each other. I changed since that happened. So, and there's certain neighbors that I trust, and there's other neighbors, like when new people move in, I'm very suspicious of them.
James Kep seemed like the kind of guy his neighbors could trust. But Danietta and her children never suspected that it was evil that was living just next door.
What happened to the Lentz family was totally unfair. It ended their lives, especially Scotty and Nicole's, before they really even got started. This case is so tragic because it basically wiped out an entire family. And specifically, we had I'm sorry.
I would have to take a real evil person. It'd have to be somebody who has part of the devil in them, especially when it comes to kids, because kids are innocent. It takes a monster to do something like that. Anybody who's out there is watch your back of who you really trust.